Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Hey, I'm Elise Hugh, host of the podcast TED Talks Daily. For more than 20 years, Paylocity has been leading the way with cutting-edge work solutions like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile with a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today is a bit of a different episode, as you might be able to see. We've got a couple of guests, and today is a battle of the minds. So just to give some context to the listeners, if you've recently been listening to the podcast, we recently sat down with Corey Bray, so he's a founder of Coach CRM. When we publicised the episode, one of Corey's viewpoints may have ruffled a few feathers and caused a bit of controversy. So we thought, why not bring both parties to the podcast to debate the subject itself? So in the blue corner, all the way from Texas, it's Corey Bray. And in the red corner, from Gillingham, England, it's the sales trainer, Chris James. The topic they'll be discussing today is salespeople should be put on the phone day one or day two. So we're going to be talking about the onboarding process, the ramp-up time for SDRs. And me and Zach Thompson, we're just here to poke the fire. So I will chuck it over to Corey first and see when we had that initial conversation. Corey, your thoughts, day one, day two. What did you mean exactly?
Well, salespeople need to get put on the phone day one or day two. Otherwise, they go into this mode where they become professional students. And I'll give the real-world anecdote and then the psychological framework to support this.
Sorry, before we carry on, don't know anything about Corey. So could you introduce yourself, tell me how much experience you've got in onboarding, what qualifications you've got in education, and go from there.
Oh, because we're doing resumes?
Who you are and, you know, where you're coming from. I've read three of your books.
Well, I'm curious. So can the ideas stand on their own, or does it have to be supported by a college degree?
Well, that's what we'll find out.
Moderators, what say you?
I feel like you've got an opinion. I don't know if we need to go.
Yeah, I don't know that I need to share my. I mean, I have an Ivy League education. I graduated from Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. I published a book called Hiring, Onboarding, and Ramping Salespeople. I've been in sales management for 15 years, and any questions?
Yeah, how many onboarding courses have you actually designed and developed from scratch? And how many of them have you actually designed and developed from scratch, how many onboarding courses have you actually designed?
How many of you? You're throwing out numbers. Give me yours first.
Designed and developed probably 15, and I've probably ran over 200 onboarding experiences.
I've done 15 in the last 2 years.
That's very good.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm an owner of a sales consulting firm called Close Loop. And I wrote the book Hiring, Onboarding, and Ramping Salespeople after having designed, I don't know, 30 or 40 of those. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay, so educational. And some of the things I've been hearing about you, or what you've said, is that...
Let's give Corey an opportunity to.
Are we doing a character audit here, or are we talking about a topic? I'm not really clear what we're doing here, boys.
Sorry, I just wanted to introduce myself so I could give people an idea of where I'm coming from.
Well,
I thought we were talking about the point here, not doing a resume. It's not entertaining to the audience to sit here and listen to people's resumes. That's the, you know, I host a podcast too, and you know, when you listen to Joe Rogan Experience, when you listen to Lex Fridman, they always start off with a hard-hitting question. And that's what entertains the audience. They come in here, they want to see something that's of substance. They don't want to listen to 10 minutes of backstory. I think that, you know, I've written 8 books. And what I did before I wrote my first book is I went on to Amazon and I said, all right, guys, what are all the negative reviews for business books? What are all the things that really turn people off? They get those 1-star reviews. They get those 2-star reviews. And what I observed over that exercise was that people that lead up with a lot of backstory and history and monologue, I'm not going to name the books, but there's some sales books out there that have 50 pages of, here's, you know, in the beginning there was the heavens and the earth and the salesperson. And then you get to the actual point, page 60, and it's just not entertaining to the audience. So I'll let you guys tell us how you want to run this. I just came to have a debate on a topic, not to
give people my personal history. Yeah, let's go back to the same question. So in terms of that quicker ramp up, let's get them doing the job on day one, day two, what did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that many sales teams, not all of them, but the vast majority of sales teams, especially in the US, again, you guys can enlighten me about what it looks like. In the United Kingdom, I've only worked with, I don't know, 20 or 30 organizations in the European theater, so my experience isn't as vast over there. We're typically hiring people who have college degrees. We're typically hiring people who are smart. And what happens is when you hire somebody that has been a student from kindergarten through 12 grades through college, that's 17 years of school. And when you bring them into an organization where they're doing something that is different than what they were trained in school, schools are largely designed to create factory workers. They've got a structured curriculum. They've got a structured day. They've got a bell. They've got rules. They've got a person at the front of the room that's doing this top-down thing. When you go into a sales organization, that's not necessarily the culture that you have. You know, you get in there and you're interrupting patterns as you're initially prospecting. You're answering questions with questions. You're not being a servant to the prospect. You're working through a discovery process that then leads to disqualification or business being done. So it's a different set of activities than what you'd observe in school. It's not about what you know. You know, the salespeople that go to business meetings and just answer prospect questions, they're not successful. That's not the job. The job isn't to be a customer service rep and somebody that just knows a lot of things. So what needs to happen is a shift in the behavior that somebody demonstrates as they're in that sales role. Now, if you're talking about somebody that's had sales experience or not had sales experience, it doesn't matter. Here's my point. If you take somebody in an onboarding program and you put them in a multi-week or multi-month training program, what you're doing is you're shifting them from doing the activity of being a salesperson to that mindset of being a professional student. And you've got this, the academic framework that supports this is Dunning-Kruger effect. So confidence decreases as knowledge increases. And that's what we see with Dunning-Kruger. So if somebody starts a job, in their first day or two, their confidence is high. This is the job that I chose. I only chose one. Can't have two jobs. If you're in sales, you got one job. You work for a company and you're pumped about that. You're super pumped, as Travis Kalanick says. You go into that organization and the more you learn, the more intimidated you get. Oh, this target market's a little more complicated than I thought. Oh, these personas, I haven't actually met them. Let me dig a little bit deeper into them. Ooh, this competition sounds scary and it seems like product marketing doesn't even know them inside and out. Oh man, there's so many objections. I got to memorize these. And what if I get them wrong and all of these different things? And so there's all of this information you've got to absorb. But at the end of the day, what you really need to do is put some points on the board and show some results. But the salesperson has to have confidence to be able to do that. They've got to have confidence over the course of time that they're able to go in there and execute and show some results. So my point is not that you put somebody into a quota carrying role and that you give them their full quota with the best accounts and have them run a sales process end to end day one. My point is you get them to start doing some sort of activity that is tied to sales that can add value to the organization that's run in parallel with the rest of their onboarding program. It could be as simple as putting them on the phone and inviting them to a webinar, calling one persona, mentioning one pain point that might exist for them to want to come to that webinar. And you're starting the flywheel of them being able to be successful in their job. And you're going to build upon that over time. And then the last thing I'll say, and I'll hand it over to Chris for his response, is that one of the biggest things that we're trying to do with sales training and onboarding and all of these things is to equip people with knowledge, sure. Equip people with skill, equip people with mindset. But then we need to bridge that gap from them knowing things to them doing things. And if you don't bridge the gap from knowing to doing, you're going to have people fall flat on their face. And for anybody listening to this that has folks that came in and they seem like they know the business and they seem like they were getting it and then they just never performed, it's very likely that that bridge from knowing to doing was never crossed.
Chris, you said online, I think the first comment you put was lol, like you put like laughing out loud. And then you obviously said, in the podcast earlier, like he's barking up the wrong tree. What? Why? Talk me through your thoughts.
Well, what Corey's talking about is something we call fail fast, learn quickly. The emphasis is on learning quickly rather than failing, of course. Obviously, it'd be insane to, you know, seek out failure. But fail fast, learn quickly.
I never used the word failure once. I never supported failure. I didn't say anything about failure.
But you're setting him up to fail. But we can look at that. Fail fast.
How am I setting up to fail? If you call somebody for a web, I said call somebody for a webinar with one person, one pain point. You can't learn that in an hour. You shouldn't be in a job.
Yeah, I got this from putting people on the phones from day one or two. So I also read part of your book where you said they go on the phones themselves. So maybe we need to clear this up because I thought this was all about putting new to salespeople out of university on who are doing advanced transactional sales on the phones in day one or two. That's what I got from this. And to do that, your theory comes from what we call fail fast, learn quickly, which comes, oops, my dog comes from the lean, pioneered by Silicon Valley entrepreneur Eric Ries. And of course, it's mainly practiced in the US in these, and my dog's still going. So he wrote a book which summarizes exactly what I'm saying. Kaya, come here. Kaya, what are you like? So basically, in his book, The Lean Startup, today's entrepreneurs use continuous innovation to create radically successful business. It's a kind of Bible for people like yourself who went to entrepreneur university. It applies to startup entrepreneurs and corporate executives who kind of have to penetrate the fog of uncertainty when building new technologies, products and services, for example. It's about tweaking your products and service in line with customer needs, you know, what works, what doesn't. But it's absolutely nothing to do with accelerated learning principles or how we teach people how people learn. So, you know, you're saying this, that people should go on the phones on day one. So, and I read your book, The Sales Enablement Playbook. I read the one about ramping up and the sales enablement. I've read all three over the weekend. The thing I'd like to ask is what scientific research do you have to back up your claims that this works? What proof do you have?
I've done it for years, and my co-founder's done it since 2008. We've done it both ways. We've done it your way. We've done it my way. And I'll comment on Eric Ries. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's the Bible. I would say that Steve Blank's The Startup Owner Manual, who was Eric Ries's mentor, that book's three times longer. It's much more in depth. The Lean Startup's a derivative work of Steve Blank's work, summary. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, I mean, if we're talking about psychological frameworks, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect, which I'm sure you're familiar with, sir.
Yep.
People's confidence decreases over time as the knowledge increases. And That's the theoretical underpinning here.
Oh,
is that if you continuously equip people with more and more knowledge, they're going to have a drop in confidence.
Oh, stop a minute.
I think he agrees with me.
We like live entertainment. We said there was going to be no edit. So for anybody listening right now, obviously it's the two I think mine and Zach's job today is not to get involved. We probably have our own viewpoints, and me and Zach probably argue till we're blue in the face. I guess, Chris, with the dog being out of the room back now, there was a point earlier where you weren't too... It sounded like you weren't too sure about like what was actually being debated, or it sounded like you might be on the same pages a little bit. So you categorically disagree that with the confidence, coming into an organisation, using that confidence to kind of get on the phones day one, you from the points that Corey said so far, you categorically disagree, or is there some middle ground which I'm misunderstanding?
No, I categorically disagree.
Okay.
Totally disagree.
You disagree that people's confidence decreases as they begin to accumulate knowledge inside of an organization?
No, I think we need to build confidence. We build confidence before we put them on the phones. Put them on the phones has a very negative effect. Failure, that's what
you're doing. Are you familiar with the Dunning-Kruger model?
Sorry?
Are you familiar with the Dunning-Kruger model?
Probably not, no. You said it earlier on, I thought I was, but I'm not. But No, go for it. Tell me what the model says.
Well, let me throw a screenshot of it up. Or how do you share screen on this, guys? I don't know. Can one of you guys throw it up on the screen? Just Google it, Dunning-Kruger. Start up on the screen. I mean, this is the, you know, you'd mentioned in the LinkedIn comments, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how that applies, and I could share any thoughts there.
Well, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is basically what somebody needs to feel confident in a job, especially when they start. Basically, what are the physiological needs, what are the safety needs, love and belonging needs, the self-esteem and the self-actualization needs. What do people really need to be confident when they start in a job? So really, you want to know where you're going. There's little things like that. You know, you want to know that you're not going to be set up to fail, for example. You know you're going to make friends there. You know you're going to be listened to. You're going to be able to make friendships, you're going to build confidence, you're going to have respect from people, those kind of things. They're all things that people need in jobs.
So how long in your mind does it take to learn a call script for, if you're calling one persona?
How long does it take to learn? Right, then let's look at that in itself, right, a call script.
Sure.
So whose call script are we learning?
Hey, I'm Elise Hugh, host of the podcast TED Talks Daily. For more than 20 years, Paylocity has been leading the way with cutting-edge work solutions like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Whose call script?
The one that works.
One that works. So it could be Sam's, could be Fred's, could be anybody's, yeah? Could be literally anyone's.
Well,
it could be Jack's. Hey, this is a sales call. Sure. You may hate me, but, you know, it might be Josh Braun's way. It might be someone else's way. But generally what I find in companies is there is one major seller, you know, very confident, and everyone kind of looks up to this person. They kind of follow that script. You know, it could be, let's call him Phil. Phil's, you know, a social animal. He likes partying. He's a lad. You know, he was the football team captain. You know, he knows how to play hard, has a sniff every now and then, likes to drink. On Monday, Susan starts. Susan studied zoology at East Sussex University. Her whole life, she wanted to work with animals. She wanted to go to Thailand and work in animal rescue centres. She wanted to go to Malaysia, work with animals in Malaysia. After a year and a half, she found out that she couldn't do that. So like many people, I don't know about you, Jack, if you were born into sales. I don't know about you, Zach, if you were born into sales. Or you, Corey, but she fell into sales. So what we're saying is this girl, who's completely the opposite to this guy, is going to copy his script. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. But she gets on the phone, this girl, and she has all these negative thoughts in herself. You know, she's reading this script and it doesn't sound right. It's not her. She knows she's got to do this right. This is her first day. She's got to impress people. She needs that flat. She's, I've never done this before. I need help. I'm anxious. She's slow on the call. She's a bit awkward. You know, she's, you can hear her brain ticking over. You hear the fear. She's apologizing to the customer. As she gets more and more nervous and drawn into the call, she's using sentence fillers. She is losing it now. It's gone too far. She only has the capacity to do maybe 6 or 7 sentences, but now the customer's interacted with her. She's nervous. She can't remember a thing about the call. And the sales manager says, well, how do you think that went? Do you think she remembered that first day, that first moment, or do you think she was shit scared? Now, I think that that is not the learning methodology. I think that is a failure.
That's dumb. I don't know why someone would do that.
What, put people on the phones on day one?
No, that's not what you're saying. Put people on the phones on day one. You're presupposing. Well, okay, so let's look at this, right? You're presupposing that the script is so antithetical to the person's personality that they physically couldn't deliver it. That's what it sounds like the underlying point here.
No. Coupled with the fact that they've never probably read out a script before, and the script they're doing is not in line with their personality. It's a generic script. Or it's done by someone who is flavor of the month.
So is a salesperson's job to create content or deliver content?
Sorry?
Is a salesperson's job to create content, as in this place, the content is a script, or is it a salesperson's job to leverage things that other people have created in order to create a specific result, meaning book a meeting, progress the deal forward, disqualify, or close the sale?
Well, on day one, see, I see it slightly different to you, Corey. I see the person. I see the human being. And there's a human, everyone's different. Everyone's different, and everyone has different needs.
Yes.
Everyone... some people are soft-spoken. Some people like to talk to people very laid-back, very relaxed. Some people are more in your face, more confident. So what I say is what we do is we develop scripts for those personalities in action. We don't just give them a one script for all. And I think if you're going to do it on day one, you're setting them up to fail because you're giving them, firstly, a script that they're never probably going to get through. And secondly, because it takes away all the principles of accelerated learning, of confidence. Because confidence is contagious, and so is lack of confidence. It can bring a whole floor down. If you set people up to fail, which you are doing, they will fail.
So here's the thing. The biggest way to build confidence is for people to win, for people to feel like they did something and they did it well. So let's assume for a second that a work day is 8 hours long.
They worked 18 hours.
Let's assume that a work day is 8 hours long.
Assume the work day is 18 hours long.
The work day is eight hours
okay,
long.
Okay, sorry.
So the work day is 8 hours long. Let's say there's 2 hours of stuff you got to do in the morning. Meetings, paperwork, whatever. Well, could we do some role plays? And let's assume for a second that we're not going out doing discovery calls to senior executives in our target market A-list accounts. Let's assume for a second that we're saying, hey, look, my goal here is to build this person's confidence. by having them learn what we're doing and simultaneously execute something that's going to add value to the company while building their confidence. Because this is the whole reason I'm doing this, is to build their confidence. And I think this, if you guys could pull up the Dunning-Kruger, just go to Google Images. That Wikipedia picture is terrible. That doesn't, it's not actually the image I'm looking for. Pull up something, Google Images, we'll walk through this. The idea is that we're giving them something that they can get a quick win at. And if I can give them a script that says, hey, look, we're having a webinar in 2 weeks. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So we're building the confidence by giving them a little bit of knowledge here. And we see this peak here. If we don't do this, if we don't let them win, if we don't let them put some points on the board, they're going to continue to accumulate more knowledge over time and get to this cultured point down here, which other representations of this call it the trough of disillusionment. And all of a sudden they feel like they're drowning. They're drinking from the fire hose, as they say. And they know all of these things. And what they're not doing is in a position to apply a very specific subset of what's needing to be applied. And that's why I use this example. Again, inviting people to a webinar, it's not the thing that everybody should do all the time. If you've got somebody that's got more experience that can actually get in there and do something a little more advanced, book a meeting or maybe even run an introductory discovery call, that's fine. But what I've heard is presupposition that this person's coming out of university. So giving them a 5-line script with a couple of responses to some objections, going in the conference room and practicing that role playing with them for 60 minutes. And once they're good at, once they're confident in the conference room, let them go rep it. Go see if they can get a couple points on the board. Because nothing will create more confidence than somebody being able to succeed day one. But don't let them try until they've demonstrated that they can do it in a role play situation.
So I totally disagree with you. I'm sorry to say that. Right. The benefits to you, you say, are add value to the company, because it's all about the company, maybe. Add confidence to the person. That's if they're successful, yeah? That's if they're not reading off this script and they don't dissolve on it on day one.
Then don't let them out there until they do it in the role play. So they do it in the role play. You don't let them go do it until they can do it in the role play. I don't understand where the disconnect is.
I thought it's in day one. I don't know how much learning has been, because my experience of day one is kind of, it's more about building teams within teams. It's about building kind of the endowment theory that this person's going to love working for this company. That's what we set first. We set those kind of bases that you're going to always be with this team. This team are going to help you. And there's always someone here within you who's going to help you along that line when you have problems. Okay, so that's the first thing. So we bond the team together as a team. That's what I see the first morning as. Then really we're looking at understanding the company a bit. Because you can't really go into a call on the first day without understanding a bit about the company. Maybe three value props that the company offers, you know. You need to know that. So that's going to take you maybe, let's say an hour. Let's say 5 minutes. However long it's going to take. And then you're going to have to role play that in. Then also they're going to have to introduce themselves. And whatever format you're going to use, it's going to be maybe, let's say, a soft approach. Introduction, empathy statement, then you're going to do reason for the call, 30-second commercial, reason for the call again, link to close, and then close. So that's a simple structure. So then they're going to have to learn that little structure somewhere. And they're going to have to learn the value of those three in the 30-second commercial. That's not a day. That's not a day to learn that and then to be able to be confident when saying it. And however much role play you play, that is a lot to get in. So what?
Why do they have to have all the theory there to be able to execute on it? Can't we pick the theory up later?
So then what you're saying, so one of your things you talked about, what was it, some sort of fire hose? You don't want to learn too much info. So what you're saying is do that now, and then we'll do all the theory later. Yeah. Why don't we set them up to succeed first? Then put them on the phones. See, I've been looking at this quite heavily, and I was trying to think, what are the benefits of a new starter? What do they get from failing on day one? Because that's what they'll do.
There's no failure here. I don't understand where your idea of failure is.
It's not for you.
Are you telling me?
It's not for you, Corey. It's for them. You don't know how each individual perceives their performance. However much talking or however much safety net you say they can have, we are still human beings. We still have fears. We still have anxieties. You don't control them. Yeah. They do. So whatever you do, you are actually setting some of them up to fail. So what I did is I tried to think, like, what are the benefits of putting people on the call? We know they're not going to be successful. They might get something out of it. Okay. So a fast learning curve is basically what you've said, yeah? It's a fast learning curve, you know, backed up with a robust onboarding program. They should be okay. Real world experience, I thought. Yeah, they'll get real. They'll actually talk to someone and they'll get to learn a bit about how the other person feels, maybe. Resilience learning, you know, hopefully they'll be able to be in that situation again and be able to deal with it. Those are the three. Those are the three. I couldn't think of any more. Add confidence. I didn't think it would. Add value to the company. I couldn't see that at all. And so then I put, what are the negative effects? And I put, well, what's going to influence it? I mean, they're going to have a lack of product knowledge and they're going to have ineffective sales techniques. They're going to be out on the rope there. There's going to be a negative customer experience. The customer's going to think, oh my God, what am I doing receiving this call? This person really hasn't got a Scooby-Doo of what they're doing. They're going to have low conversion rates, negative impact on brand awareness, wasted leads, demotivation of the person. What happens if someone succeeds and the other three, four don't? How are they going to feel? Employee retention. You know, I put here, failure, like all emotions and feelings, it sets off a chain of events and chemicals in your mind, yeah? If you fail, the experience is like disappointment, fear, and embarrassment. When we win, our brains, you know, we release endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, whatever it is, and they motivate us. But when we fail, there are other things, carousel, stuff like that, that goes through our mind that does the opposite. And what we can find is if we do this and we fail with them, it alters their perceptions of their own abilities. They don't think they can do it from day one, unless you put such a robust safety net in. Failure gives the impression you're powerless. I'm not in control of this conversation. I'm reading from a script. I'm actually powerless. Fear of failure. Can I share my screen?
You are allowed to.
Is that okay?
I believe you can. I don't know. But I will allow you to do that if you can press the if you can click the share screen. while you're loading it, Chris, then can I ask? So in an ideal world, obviously you've done this. If Corey is saying that the ideal time with role plays and things like that is 1 to 2 days, what do you think is, like, if you had to put a number on it, what does that look like?
For me personally, it would be 11 days.
So that'd be 2 weeks.
Going on the 11th day.
And coming back in on the Monday. So you've got 2 weeks of knowledge and learning, and then you go away for the second weekend, you come back in and you're expected to cold call on the Monday.
Yep. Can you see my screen? Can you see Azak? Hey? Right, so this is an example of the way I do things. I think we've listened to Corey now. We'll listen to some of how I do mine. So I do a 2-week onboarding program. And this is the last one I did in Singapore. So I've been back since. And it's a Park Place Technologies. That's Azak. He hit his targets every month. He was promoted to account manager in a record time. They all were, August 2019. It was actually 5 months they were together and they're all promoted. He was at the company for 1 year, 6 months. We'll look at Militia and Suri, called into India, hit target every month. Look at their service, 3.3 years, 3 years. I don't just teach people to be successful. I teach what we call the endowment, to love the company they're working for and to really buy into it. The next one is Felix. Felix only did 1.2 years, but like the others, he was successful. Elvin, another guy, successful. 1.7 years. Hit his target every month. Pingui, another one. She only did 10 months because she moved to Australia. And like every training course, we have Alex, whose visa ran out. Hey, that was an onboarding class I did. I did it for 2 weeks. I built up their confidence. I gave them all the sales skills they needed to be successful. I built them up through accelerated learning principles, through assessment for learning games, and there was hardly any PowerPoint at all. So let's go back to, let's have a look at another one. Meet Brandon. So Brandon was a new to sales SDR. He'd straight out of university. He worked in an environment where the SDR drove the conversation to the AE and the AE did the disco demo. At 11:15 on the first day on the phones, he booked a meeting on his first day. He went on to book five more that week. In fact, the whole, only one person, I tell a lie, one person didn't book a meeting in the first week. On the same school was Nick Alden. Nick was actually a singer, I think. He booked seven meetings in his first week on the phone. Still a record for sales at Adverity. And then we crossed the pond. I was also training George in New York. He booked three meetings in his first 2 days on the phone.
Just to, for the listeners at home, obviously, some people might be listening to this via just a podcast, Spotify. So what you're saying is these are all people that you've trained up and they've gone through your process of 2 weeks. Corey, any thoughts on this so far?
Hey, I'm Elise Hugh, host of the podcast TED Talks Daily. For more than 20 years, Paylocity has been leading the way with cutting-edge work solutions like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
I don't know if it's relevant to the conversation.
Okay, so we're looking at success. I mean, you're saying that putting people on the phone from day one works. I say it doesn't. You haven't backed up any proof at all that it does work. I've just shown you seven examples, eight examples where it has worked. All we've got is your words saying,
I'm
I've been
saying
doing
that it doesn't. My point is not that I never said that if you wait 2 weeks, then people aren't going to book meetings. I never made that statement. So sure, people waited 2 weeks and booked meetings. That's fine. I didn't make a PowerPoint with pictures of people's faces that I've worked with. That's
I would.
I'm truly curious if you disagree with the principles of the Dunning-Kruger model. That's kind of because you mentioned theory. I didn't read your books. I didn't do research. I said it sounded like we were going to do academic framework. So I found the one academic framework that I've been relying on for years, and it's the theory that underpins this. So does the Dunning-Kruger model hold water? No, that's the question.
Well, it was for software engineers, wasn't it? The one we looked at, and software engineers are more product specialists than sales specialists.
Engineers. It's for human. It's for human.
Well, that's the best example you gave. So that's the only thing I could read.
I never gave a software. When did I give a soft fellas? Did I give a software engineering example? Can I fact check that?
At what point, Chris?
I haven't said the word software engineer today.
Well, pick up the page that you were on and where we looked at the example. Did I read the wrong thing?
Well, regardless of...
Yeah.
there's 100 images on Google. Just click. I don't have a screen.
Software engineer, but I think it's.
Well, pull up a different one. There's 100 of them. It has nothing to do with. It has nothing to do with software engineers. It has to do with humans. And I think that's the whole point, is that confidence decreases as knowledge increases. It's something that is supported by learning theory. It's something that I've personally observed. It's something that my coworkers, colleagues, mentors, and clients have observed. You give people more and more knowledge. They've got more things running through their heads. They're thinking about, what about this? What about that? They're nervous. They're not hyper-focused. And when I'm talking about the activities to do on day one, give them something they can do. You know, I wrote about one comment I made in the sales enablement playbook was that minor league baseball players. Well, minor league baseball players, guess what they do? They play baseball. They don't shag balls in the outfield to practice that and then go catch some ground balls in the infield and practice that and then go do guys' laundry because, you know, they're new and all those types of things. They play baseball. You got to put people
on junior
field.
Baseball. In the no, fast they have a little stick where they put a ball on. And they put the ball on the stick and they practice height.
I'm talking about adults and
forward.
I'm talking about adults in the minor leagues. Okay, I'm talking about adults in the minor leagues. And we're talking about salespeople that have gone to school for 17 years. So we're not T-ball. I mean, I think that's the other thing is I've got it.
I disagree, Corey. I mean, I watch Ronaldo practice on telly sometimes, and he stays after everyone's gone and practices free kicks. He practices, and he says, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better, and I'm going to get better. He practices. He doesn't just do it in the game. He does it outside the game, continually. So the practice he does, he can replicate in the game.
Correct. I mean, what? And the best way to figure out where to practice is to understand where the gaps are in the game. And you've got to get people on the field. That's the whole point. And I think I've brought, you know, whatever. I'm not going to change your mind. That's not my point. I don't think you're going to change adult males' minds about pretty much anything. But I just wanted to share my thoughts.
That's cool. I mean, I agree with you. Success in sales is based on the foundation of the seller and the team's confidence. The constant beliefs that challenges can actually be overcome. You know, I've walked alongside many SDRs, AEs, and the more I work with them, you know, I see that selling constantly assaults their confidence. You know, I've come to understand that confidence lies in the heart of successful performance. With confidence, a seller will pick up the phone and face the many demands of prospecting. Without confidence, the same person, as Sam says, will withdraw back into the personal and much safer comfort zone. I totally agree with what you're saying about confidence.
I agree with that. Going back to theory, since we're hammering on that today, the model that I know that underpins that is the results continuum from cognitive behavioral therapy, where somebody takes an action and they see a result, and that result impacts their mindset, which leads them to make a decision to take an action where they see results, and that impacts their mindset. You can't change somebody's mindset by telling them to change their mindset. I can't tell you that the earth is flat or that religion X is the best or political party Y is the best. I can't tell you those things.
Confidence is a choice.
Have you change your mindset? Confidence is not a choice.
It is a choice.
Confidence is, you can't choose to be confident. I can't tell you to be confident. Pick yes or no. The whole point of this model that I'm describing is that somebody has to take a choice to take an action. And then the confidence is something that happens as a result of that action. So if we put them in a world to succeed, if we give them something that's small enough, not go win a deal, just get them to come to a webinar, this very basic example that I keep giving, and they get them.
I disagree. I think confidence is a choice.
Building it over time.
I think the
how so? How can you tell it? When does somebody have the choice to be confident or not?
Well, the journey to becoming a more complete seller obviously begins with building confidence and then learning to maintain it through setbacks. It's how you deal with it that matters. And it is a choice how you deal with things. It's you personally.
So what is the choice? So in a choice, you've got A and B. So like, what is choice A and what is choice B? I'm unclear.
Well, let's just say you get a rejection. Okay, you get a rejection. You go, sure. I'm not interested, for example, and you don't deal with it. Now it's up to you how you deal with that rejection. But to be confident next time, you're going to have to read up on it or ask someone for help. So now you can overcome that objection. So now you have the confidence. So I say confidence is a choice. It's because how you actually tackle that. If you just leave it alone, then obviously That's your choice.
I would say in that example, it's really up to the organization to equip the person with that. Sorry, Jack, real quick. I think it's up to the organization to equip people with that, because if you've got a new person coming in and you're having them do something, again, something simple, ask people to webinar. There's only 5 or 10 types of rejection you're going to get. You know what those are. Mm-hmm. So set the people up for success by helping them preview. Well, here's what you might run into. Here's how you can handle. Oh, and by the way, here's the other thing with salespeople is that anybody that gets upset about rejection, the key is to preview up front. Like, look, rejection's part of the job. You're going to get rejected 80% of the time. And so you can't. And one of the things we read about the sales enablement playbook is help them set negative goals. So instead of the goal being to get one yes, the goal is to get 10 no's. Because we know based on the math, based on the prospecting math, based on the sales math, that if we can get 10 people to tell us the word no and we're executing well, we're going to get a yes. Or maybe it's 5.
Or you could gamify it.
Depends on what the ratio
is. You could gamify it. You could get 2 points for getting sent away along, 2 points for finding out someone else who's involved in the process, 3 points for delivering your value statement. Doesn't have to be the end goal. It could be gamification. You could actually assess success in different manners.
I think it's been a very interesting conversation. We've spoke about a few different things, from confidence. I guess closing comments on the show, if the discussion is onboarding should be 1 or 2 days versus onboarding should be 11 days. Chris, we'll go over to you. Closing comments on the show. Why is Corey wrong?
I think he's setting people to fail. By putting them on the phones on day one, could have more of an adverse effect than building them with confidence and only putting on the phones when they're ready to go on the phones. We're all different. We're all different personalities. We all learn in different ways. We all learn at different speeds. We all also are affected by anxiety and pressure in different ways. Doesn't make us bad salesmen because we are anxious on our first days of being on an onboarding course. We just need to set the way for them, prepare them well, and give them the chance they deserve.
Set milestones for people and let them advance to the next level when they're ready. Learn the content, learn the script, role play the script. As soon as they're ready, get them on the phones. If that's day one, let it rip. Don't force them to sit in a conference room and become a professional student for another 10 days. Again, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. If y'all want to go out and do Chris's method, that's fine. That's great. And then the last thing I'd say is I don't think onboarding should be one day. I don't think it should be 10 days. I think onboarding is something that should never end technically, because you've always got more product. You've got a competitive landscape shift. You've got new things that come up with prospects outside of the competitive landscape and the broader market. You've got all of these things. And we need to constantly be equipping salespeople with those. We need to constantly be assessing their retention of their knowledge, of their skill, and of their mindset. And then we need to coach the heck out of them along the way. And then we're going to make successful people. And I think that nothing I'm saying is in the spirit of set people up for failure. Don't set them up for failure. Understand how to make them successful in very micro segments. And once they've advanced to that next level, let them go, because people get bored, they get disengaged. And that's where you start seeing tenure drop off, where you start seeing people just failing to push themselves harder.
Incredible.
If you're hiring smart people, let them be smart people. Let them go execute and be their support as you need to. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
According to Saltus Wealth, 41% of high net worth individuals report having been victims of financial crime. Are you next? High profile individuals like you need more than off the shelf solutions. You need concierge digital security from Reputation Defender. It's not just another app. It's a team of experts using best in class tools to protect you and your family, covering virtually every aspect of your digital life. Visit ReputationDefender.com/success to learn more. That's ReputationDefender.com/success.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it, so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.